Ron and Anian.
Do you know they've seen this before? The sergeant came out. He had this stick in his belt that's specially treated. Tapped the top of the dashboard 3 times and he says, now you're no longer being tracked. We've disabled the object. I was so grateful. I got in the car. I could tell right away it was fixed. You're the best mechanic I know. You're always on it.
Car doctor.
Would you buy a rod that's already built or want a barn find?
I've been through it both ways. I'd buy something. If I could find the right vehicle, I'd buy something done if I could afford it.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Okay, I'm going to say it like this. I'm reading out of a book on computer networking. Listen to the description. And I want to do this real quick before we go to the phones. Network modules are often connected in a series where the ends are connected as well. In this way, each module is situated in the middle of the flow of information. This forms a loop of modules. When a message is generated, it is sent out in both directions, traveling through every module on the network. Each module receives the message from both directions simultaneously, which makes the series network very stable. Is that about cars, or is that about computer networks in the office? It's about cars. This is out of the book. This is out of the class I took 2 months ago. We're doing network communication strategies. Think about what they're saying there. They're talking about modules and series connections and data packets and messages being generated, just like that computer network at the office or maybe the one in your house. It really is a giant computer. It's just they put 4 wheels and an engine on it, and that's what's hauling you around these days. So, you know, we had a call last hour and they come in from time to time about, I want to change out the radio. I want to change the electronic cluster. I want to move things around. Everything's got a module now and everything is interconnected into everything else. It's not as simple as, you know, plug and play and drop in, drop out and make the car work that way. So I just thought I'd give you and that was the simplest definition of it I could find because I wanted you to get some idea of what this was that we're trying to deal with. When we're trying to fix cars today. So they really are computer networks. Hello and welcome. Ron and Anian, the car doctor here at 855-560-9900. A lot going on as we celebrate the 1500th show this weekend, and I'm glad to have you here. Let's go to line two and talk to, I'm not sure who that is, but I know it's from Arizona with the P0740 and the Jeep, correct? Who is this?
This is Dean.
Hey, Dean, how are you? I knew that. I saw it, and then it glimpsed off my screen. So what's going on with this Jeep?
We got check engine light. Take the code off. It's a 0700, of course, but it's when I did the code scanner, it comes up P0740.
Okay. How many miles are on it?
140.
Right. And this is what, the 4.7 liter?
Yep, 4.7 liter with N in the serial number.
Right.
And this is all-wheel drive, yeah, 545 RFE transmission.
This is the Mercedes version of a Jeep, as it were, back in the day when Daimler owned it.
Back in the day, you're
yeah.
Right.
So your question to me is what's broke or what do you want to do with this?
No, I checked the oil level. The fluid level's good. It was changed about 30,000 miles ago. It's still pretty clean, not burnt, not okay. Black. But, of course, I've got this and I can't get rid of it. It runs good and it shifts. It seems to shift fine.
All right.
So I was looking mainly for a transmission shop that you might recommend in the area.
Yeah, I don't know anyone Arizona way, but let me tell you what's likely going on here. I can tell you why that 740 sets. All right. Did you
okay.
you ever have a mini bike as a kid or something with a centrifugal
yes.
clutch? So remember how that centrifugal clutch worked? The faster it went, it got to a certain speed, and then the drum was locked in place by the shoes inside of the clutch itself, and that's what made the mini bike move? right?
Yeah, and that's kind of like the torque converter.
That's exactly like the torque converter, except they apply the shoes or the friction material with hydraulic pressure. So, you know, what could go wrong? They could have an electrical issue that's not allowing the torque converter clutch solenoid to apply and open up that hydraulic port, but more likely there would be a secondary fault, because I firmly believe that most cars today have the ability, they can test every component seven different ways. So if it was an electrical fault, it would likely come up, you know, P0740A or 1 or whatever, electrical circuit issue, you know, torque converter, clutch solenoid, and so on. So, you know, it's a loss of converter apply because it doesn't see the proper RPM drop once the converter locks on, all right? So it's making a determination that, hey, it's a fault in this portion. Likely this is trans. A trans shop should really go through and diagnose, do we have proper electrical signal? There's some testing they can do with a scan tool to apply the converter and look for the proper response, that type of thing. As far as finding a shop, who do you use for a general mechanic?
I'm the mechanic.
Okay.
I was a mechanic for many years, but I'm getting too old now to do transmission work and stuff like that.
Yeah, and especially that, because, you know, to pull the trans out of that's a chore.
I mean, torque converter means you got to pull out. This one's got, of course, all-wheel drive, so it's got the,
right.
You know, all the extra on the transmission to pull out, so it's a lot of work to pull that out of there.
Well, and, you know, let's...
So I was just looking for a shop that, you know, I thought maybe you might have one that you knew, or somebody that you could recommend that I call to find out. Do you have a mechanic in the area?
No, I really, you know, it's everybody asks me this. I really have nobody in the area in Arizona. It's getting harder and harder. I can tell you, I don't know if you could get into it. IATN.net, IATN.net is a mechanics website. I don't know what they do for non-members. I don't know if they would allow you to go in and say, hey, I'm in Arizona, I'm looking for a qualified transmission shop, and you could start to read some of the reviews of guys there. You may Google search, maybe you could Google search IATN.net Arizona members and see what comes up that way. It stands for International Automotive Technicians Network, and they're a pretty qualified group of guys. There's another website, diag.net, D-I-A-G.net. They're the new boy on the block, and they're expanding rapidly. You know, and I look to some of these websites because if you can read some of the information, if they allow you, the consumer, to go in there and read some of it, you can tell who's on the ball and who's not. You know, and it kind of gives you a backside look at what goes on behind the scenes. And then after that, it's going to be, you've got to ask, you know, who has everybody been using? It's still word of mouth. It's still a word of mouth business, you know? But I will say, I do want to leave you with this before you run, is I want you to think about, you know, if you do pull the trans, 18 years old, 140,000 miles, I don't know that I would do just a converter. I'd probably do a trans.
No, I'd put in a whole new, if it has to be pulled, would do either a rebuilt or have it rebuilt.
Yeah, because the mileage is, you know, the labor to get there, the mileage, to, you know, on it, it's, you know, you might as well.
What would you estimate in your shop something like that would cost?
Depends on the unit. I think that's the Benz Trans. I believe that's, and don't hold me to this, but you're probably in the neighborhood of New Jersey dollars around $5,000 as an educated guess. It's been a while since I've seen one, but I remember it being an expensive unit to do, and parts for it are, you know, they're not cheap, and then it depends on what's bad inside. Is it just
So you got to look at it. We probably got another 80,000 on the car total, maybe, and so you'd have to, but you know, 5,000 doesn't go very far these days.
Well, and it doesn't, and then you got to play the what if game too. You know, let's say it's $5,000. Okay, it's $5,000. What if the engine went bad 6 months from now? Would you put an engine in it? And
no.
So you've got to weigh that. It's and I'm not saying it will, but you know, if you've owned this since new and you've done all the oil changes and the maintenance and you know it, you know, at least now you and listen, maybe it's cheaper to put an engine in it. Maybe it is. At least you know where you are. There's less electronics on it. There's less technology on it. A replacement Jeep of that caliber today is easily $60,000. You know,
yeah, that's true. That's one of the reasons we kept it, because right. It's a really nice car.
You know, all of a sudden it just starts to make sense. It's technology yeah. You can deal with, and I'm sure there's not a lot of rust on it, if any at all. It's Arizona. How much snow do you guys get?
None.
Right. So, you know, the brake lines are probably still anodized, and everything comes apart nice and easy. As compared to New Jersey.
For the most part, that's the case. Yeah. Yep, you can take almost anything right. off without a problem.
You know? So maybe before you decide to put a trans in it, price an engine. Play what if. Sometimes you got to play what if. And, you know, if an engine turns out to be $6,500, now you got to think in the next 2 years, would you put 11.5 in that vehicle? Well, you know what? Maybe you would if the engine went bad, because it's 60 to replace it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Ron. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. You take good care. Yeah, it's always Goodbye. It's always a numbers game with cars listeners, and sometimes you got to stop and think about it. You know, I think about hybrids, right? I've gotten a couple of emails. People say, "How come you'll recommend an engine or a transmission in a hybrid, but you won't recommend putting a battery in a hybrid?" I'll tell you that answer when the car doctor returns. Don't go away. Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor here. Let's get on over to Mike in Michigan, 06 Chevy Silverado. Mike, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. What's going on? Mike? Hey, Mike. Is Mike there? Mike?
This is Greg.
Hey, Greg.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Greg. Yeah, we're supposed to be a Mike there, but I guess we lost him. So how are you, Greg? What's going on?
Good. Got a question.
Go ahead.
Somebody told my girlfriend, you know, okay, so you've got a vehicle, you've got the opener on your keychain, that when you get out of the vehicle, you should lock it on the arm of the vehicle, because if you lock the vehicle with using the opener on your keychain, the thieves can get in it. I said, didn't sound right to me, but I said I knew who to ask.
On what basis are they going to know how to get in it? Because they can steal the frequency because it's been transmitted?
Whoever told this to her, of course, you know, didn't tell that, but, you know, she doesn't know a lot about cars well,
right.
And anymore, neither do I, but I'm an old service station owner from way back, so I love your show. Brings back a lot of memories and some not so fond memories, but I thought this was a good question for you.
I appreciate it, brother. So let's play the game their way. So she hits the button and the frequency code gets transmitted out and they capture it.
Okay.
Now they're in the car. Now what?
Well, yeah, I'm... Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. Now what?
Now what? You know, they don't have the digital code to start it. They don't have a key or an electronic button. I don't know that that would start the car necessarily.
Right. Are you saying that to get in the car, they would have to have some? Would they have to have some sophisticated piece of equipment to capture that code?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then so. So in other words, yeah, this is one of those things. Oh, yeah, it might happen, but the chances are like about getting struck by lightning.
Well, yeah, and my understanding is everybody's got a different digital code. Think about it, right? Think of all the cars that have remote tchotchkes. Tchotchke is the technical term, right? Think of all the cars that have remotes, and how many people are standing in parking lots using them, and you know, every time that has to be. And my understanding is that's a evolving digital code, so it's never the same every time it's transmitted.
Okay.
Because it can't be. You know, it's and part of that is for the anti-theft factor that we're talking about right here.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know, how important does that have to be? You know,
another thing is, why would they want to get in her car? What's in her, you know, number one, it's not a Rolls Royce, so why do they, what's in there that they think is worth breaking into her car as opposed
to
another one?
You know, if they wanted to get into their car, it's called a rock through the side window. If anybody can get in, you know, you don't need anything high tech. One of the things that amazes me is we still make cars with theft-proof radios. Why? Who's going to steal it? Because the radio is so specific and so exact that, and it's so buried in the dashboard. You know, it just, to me, it's a testimony to the stupidity of man that we think that, you know, somebody's going to want the radio out of a 2011 Honda Odyssey. We're going to put anti-theft fault coating on it. Who would want that?
Perhaps the radio is more theft-proof than the car is. You know? Why not steal the whole car?
Well, and then you know what? A later model car now with tracking and GPS on it. Go ahead, take it. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? We can find it. It's. You know, listen, if somebody wants it, they're going to get it. You know,
yeah,
I always say it.
Right.
Locks are meant to keep honest people out. All right.
Good point.
It's, you know, but from her security and her safety, just as long as she understands, I like doing the remote, you know, jing, because it makes the horn go. Because if anybody's standing around, it makes them aware. Yeah, they locked the car. You know, it sort of attracts attention and it keeps her safe, which is what we're all about.
So, well, there you go.
All right.
All right. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
That's good work.
All righty. You
care.
Too. Bye bye.
Stay healthy.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you. You too. God bless. Let's let them take the car. Who cares? By the way, speaking of staying healthy, I got to give kudos to Ford. I just have to mention this. I was reading the article this morning and I watched the video. There's a great video on Fox News where they talk about Ford stepping up and making the ventilators for the current situation. And I mean, they're going all out. They really are. They're like pulling parts out of thin air and the assembly lines together, and they're taking blocks of workers that were 2 weeks ago building cars, and now they're building ventilators. And, you know, when you look at the car companies, every time there's a crisis in this country, how Ford steps up to the plate, right? They did it with Willow Run. They're doing it today. They were the only car company that didn't take the bailout in 2008. You know what? Yeah, they're a car company, and everybody's got their beef about them, I'm sure. But you know what? They're doing the right thing, and they're not waiting to be told. They're doing it on their own. So kudos to Ford for that. We love you for that, man. That's great. And by the way, somebody just sent me an email. Hey, Ron, is there a different style module other than a single loop design? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll read the next chapter in the book. The diagram on the next page shows a GM Class 2 network and loop configuration. It takes a bit of tracing to figure it out, starting at S3, trace through the modules in the following sequence. Listen to the modules that are in the sequence in just an old-school GM Class 2 network. The road sense suspension module, the amplifier, the remote control function actuator, the body controller, the sensing diagnostic module, which is airbag, the memory seat module, and the radio. Now, what do all those things have in common? Nothing really, except that they all have to talk to one another, which makes it absolutely necessary that they be there and part of the network. So you notice how there's a radio module tied in with the remote control, the body module, the airbag module, and the memory seats. Now, why is that? Probably because everything has to talk to one another. When you sit in the car, it has to know you're there. It's going to know, oh, gee, Ron was sitting in this car last time he was in. He was listening to this station on the radio. We'll give him that preset back. Or maybe we've got to adjust the seat. That's why the body control module is involved in it, too. Everything is interconnected. So going back to the call previous hour, previous shows, where we want to change the radio, I don't know if you can necessarily do it. Everything is going to be too involved today. Welcome to networking. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor. We're going to pull over and take a pause. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
For the best in car advice, give Ron a call, 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Okay, let's do a quick piece of email. Hey, Ron, in these quarantine times, what can we do for maintenance while we're stuck at home? And also, can you talk a little bit about how long should we let our car sit while we're waiting to go back to work? And this comes to us from Fred in Virginia. You know, Fred, great questions. And yeah, I guess it's an issue now, right? We either you can't get to your mechanic because you're not allowed out on the road, or you can get out on the road, but your mechanic's not there because he's been quarantined. So what can you do? What are some of the basics you can do? Fair question. Fair point. We've got to think that the cars are sitting now, right? I know at our house, and I'm going to go back to work this week because New Jersey, they deemed us essential. And I've got a couple of things that I'm going to control, how they get into the shop. And we got a couple of cars we're going to work on this week and get back into it a little bit. But, you know, for 10 days, nothing moved. So I went out there after day five, and I went for a little ride. I wanted to get out of the house anyway. You know, obviously there's plenty of gasoline around, which is a whole nother story. You notice the price of gasoline, holy cow. But, you know, you went out, and it's important not to make this just a one-minute trip down the block. I don't think idling the car is the right thing to do, you know, because it's a different sort of warm-up. It's going to, what are you going to do, run it 7-8 minutes and just let it sit? As a matter of fact, one of the cars I have to look at this week is for a customer. The car sat 10 days, and now she went out to the highway this morning, as a matter of fact. She sent me a text, and she told me that when she steps on the brake, she's getting a shake, which she didn't have before, and I'm thinking the brake rotors have rusted, and they're creating an issue for her. So driving the car every couple of days will, you know, prevent rotors from rusting, tires, you know, so they don't get flat spots, and, you know, they can develop quickly. And, you know, obviously charging the battery and, you know, getting the juices flowing. Listen, if you sat in bed for 10 days, what would you be like, right? You kind of got to get your juices flowing, the joints moving. You got to get everything lubricated, and it's important. So I think taking the car out after 4 or 5 days for a ride, nice and easy, 15, 20 minutes, half hour. It's not like we're in a rush to go anywhere. And by the way, I've got to tell you that it really is great getting out on the roads because there's no cars out there. So that's important. What can you do for maintenance? Fuel system cleaner, you know, especially if it's going to sit long term, right? Gasoline loses its pop anywhere from 30 to 45 days after it's installed. And then you've got to think about, you know, moisture, ethanol. You've got to think about carbon deposits forming. You know, a can of Berryman's Hest during the course of this is a great thing to do. Maintain the fuel system. You know, maybe not something you're going to add, but something to have in the glove box. And I've said this before, a bottle of K-Seal cooling system sealer, to have that in the glove compartment for that emergency when you do take it out and your mechanic's not around and maybe it's got a cooling system leak and you got to get home. You know, filters, make sure they're a good quality filter, air, cabin, wicks. You know, I want to point out that if you've got an O'Reilly Auto Parts near you, you can get curbside drop-off and pick-up hands-free or, you know, clean pickup drop-off. They've arranged, you know, no contact. That's the word I'm looking for. So you can call your local O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and then get your filters there. So, and then tire pressure. You know, hopefully you've got a way at home to add, you know, air to your car tires and, you know, do that as well. So just simple things. Listen, we're going to get through this. It's going to take some time. You know, is it going to be another 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks? We don't know. It'll be somewhere in that proximity, we hope. But we all have to do the right thing. Stay at home. Stay away from each other. And take care of the car so it's ready. Because when we come back, boy, you're going to need it because you're going to be real busy. There's going to be a lot to do. Let's get over to the phones. Let's go over to Russell in Virginia and some questions about maintenance. Russell, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Yes. First of all, I'm so glad I found y'all. I used to listen to another car guys on another radio station, and I was flipping through the AM channels, and I found you a couple of weeks ago, and I'm so happy because I've always done my own maintenance on my cars. My daddy raised me to change oil religiously, change out spark plugs, and it's actually passed on to me. And I enjoy doing it. It's a hobby I actually enjoy doing.
Yeah,
and,
nothing like working with your hands, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And people ask me. I retired 2 months ago, and the guys at work always used to say, Russell, you're getting ready to retire. Why do you do that? I said, because I can.
Right. That's right. Every day is every day is Saturday, right, Russell?
There you go. Yeah. And today's a good day down here in Chesapeake. The sun is out, and I pulled my car out of the garage. It's a 2009 Volkswagen CC. I've done a lot of bolt-on performance to it with a Stage 2 kit.
Okay.
It's a six-speed, and it's a 2009, and I just broke 24,000 miles on it. So the car runs like a champ. It really does. And it's incredible what people can do with factory cars. You can bolt on performance like cold air intakes, turbo exhaust. I've got them running a 3.5-inch stainless exhaust all the way from the turbo out to the back. I've got full coilover suspension. The car runs like a champ, and I love it.
And think about all the physics and the math And everything you've learned from working on that car, right, Russell?
Yes. I mean, I've improved the sway bars. I went with larger sway bars, which improves the cornering. And I don't want people to think I'm some kind of maniac out there, you know, driving recklessly. But it is such a joy. I refer to myself as a spirited driver.
Well,
I don't know many people. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it gives you a sense of pride to be able to do what you're doing, right? It gives you a sense of accomplishment. And that's why, I was talking in a previous hour about, you know, my first car and what cars did for me. And I think it would be so great if the kids today could find a way, if we could get them more involved with cars and working with their hands and, you know, working on projects. You know, it's a human experience, and it's not where something is just handed to you and say, here, you've created this, you've made this, and now you care for it, and it teaches you about life in a lot of ways. It really does.
I think it builds character and discipline to maintain something you own. Real quick, like, I don't mean to keep you too long, but like I said, I retired a couple months ago. I was speaking to a guy at work before I retired, and he told me he was talking to a friend of his one day, and he's in his like mid-40s, almost 50s, and he got a phone call, and he said, man, I got to leave. He goes, well, where are you going? He goes, my son's got a flat tire, and I got to go change it. His son was 21 years old, and he had to leave to go change the tire. If that had been me, my daddy said, you'll sit there till you learn how to change the tire.
Well, and that's, you know, listen, and that's a huge part of it, because you've got to know how to change a flat. Well, you know what? We raised three great girls, and they're all grown young women now, and they all know how to change a flat, because the day they got their license, they came in, hey, I got my license, I passed my test, and they came back in 5 minutes later, Dad, I got a flat. Wow, how'd that happen? And, you know, because when Mom had them out, Dad made sure the car had a flat, because then we sat down and we learned how to change a flat in the driveway, each and every one of them, whether they remember
awesome.
It now. But, you know, and that's part of it, because where's the emergency? And that's, you know what, one of the things I learned, all right, early on, and I learned this from my dad before he passed, was you got to be a good scout. You got to be prepared. You don't know when you're going to need it. If you could predict when the emergency was going to happen, you wouldn't call it an emergency. You'd call it scheduled. And I never forgot that. Real quick, Russell, you're in Chesapeake, Virginia, in the Chesapeake Bay area?
Yes.
They still got that bridge over there across the bay?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate that bridge. I really do. That bridge scares the heck out of me.
people go through the tunnels and they slow down. I just don't understand it. I think they ought to do a multi-million-dollar study why people slow down in the tunnels.
Because they're afraid to get back up on the bridge in the water.
everybody I talk to says it's because they're afraid. I said, well, you would think they'd speed up so they could get through quicker.
Right. So, but that, I'll tell you what, in all seriousness, that is a marvel of modern engineering. 26 miles across. The thing that bugs me is when I'm in the middle, I'm 13 miles out in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay. I think about that all the time. So, Russell, I enjoyed the call, sir.
Thank you. You take good care. Thank you for your show.
You're welcome. Yep. You know, thank you for being there for us, and we're glad to be here to help you. You call anytime like everybody else. I'm Ron Ananian in the Car Doctor. We'll pull over and take a pause. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's 24/7 phone number. Let's go over to David in Iowa. David, how are you today, my brother?
Hey, I'm doing great, Ron. How are you doing?
Good, sir. What's going on?
Well, I tell you what, I got some encouragement for everybody with all this. You know, if you've got, you have to go with a positive attitude if you're going to try to fix the car. You know, you can't give up.
Yep, that's right.
And with the epidemic that we got going on, I want to tell everybody that we've got some of the greatest people out there, scientists, biologists, and the whole works. They're working their tail ends off. It's probably as rough or maybe a little even harder than you do. But anyway, I want to give them some encouragement. We're going to find a way to get this thing all wiped out, okay? But it's up to the individuals to keep a positive attitude. If you don't go to, if you've got a problem, you have to keep positive. Every time you get a negative feeling, you either throw a wrench down or you give up or kick a car or whatever. It's the same thing with your health. If you have a positive attitude and a hope that this thing will be cleared up, which they are working on, believe me, I've got some inside information from people, but some of the top people working on this thing, and we're going to whip it, okay? It's on its way out. So fear is a killer, all right? So I want everybody to get an attitude. If they have any kind of a faith in whatever, a super being or whatever, prayer helps, a good attitude if you don't. And I just wanted to pass that to all your listeners, just to hang in there, do what we're supposed to do, and keep an keep your chin up, my grandfather used to say. So
you know,
I've had about 76 years of this experience with hardships and stuff, and every time I've ever wanted something, I kept a good attitude about it, and it came to pass. So
you know what,
that's
David?
About the best thing.
David, you're so spot on. You know what? You know what I've learned, and maybe this will kind of put it in perspective for some people. You know, so I'm the voice on the radio, and I guess I'm this. You know, I'm this B-list celebrity. I don't think of myself as that. I'm just this mechanic that got lucky with a radio show. You know,
you're my hero.
Well, you know, thank you. You know, one of the things I've learned is how great my parents were as a result of this coronavirus thing. You know, it's real easy to watch World War II movies and read books and hear the history, you know, oral history from those that lived it. Because they lived it. We know the answer. We know who won the war. We don't know how this is going to pan out. I know how it's going to pan out, but we don't know when. You know, we haven't gotten that final chapter yet. And our parents, that generation, just slugged through that every day, all right? I mean, the first year of the war, 41, 42, and into the middle of 43, it wasn't great news. It wasn't until early 43 when the war turned around. They went through 12, 18 months of, gee, are we going to be, you know, are we going to be overrun? You know, what's going to happen and how will it happen and so on. So you're right. We are going to fix this because this is just like every other problem in life. You know, we've got people working on it. We're aware of it and we will resolve it. You know, I guess the best thing I can leave it as is let's just all be human. All right. You know, I was at the supermarket 2 weeks ago. I had a shopping cart of stuff, just doing our normal shopping. And there was somebody trying to get through and they had like four items and they were behind me. And I let them go ahead. I'm not saying that looking for a pat on the back, but I just let them go ahead because the guy looked at me and I said, brother, we're all going to the same place 100 years from now anyway. It doesn't matter. You know, go, get done what you got to get done. And I think right now the most important thing is to just help each other and maintain, like you say, a positive attitude. And it's going to pass real quick, and we're going to wake up and go, wow, we beat it. And look at us. You know, we did the job. So, David, you keep calling, all right? And you stay safe out there in Iowa. And I love your attitude, man. You're my hero. So you keep doing it while you're doing it. 855-560-9900. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this.
Cause like a picture she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair. She woke up and took me by the hand. She's gonna love me in my Chevy van, and that's all right with me.
Hey, let's, as we wind it down this hour, welcome back. You know, I got to dedicate this weekend's show to Mom. You know, Mom's gone now, and, you know, I didn't talk about that during the first 2 hours here, and, you know, it really wouldn't be a Car Doctor radio show without Mom. You know, my dad was gone. She basically never came out in the garage. She knew I was working on cars. I don't think she knew really what I was doing out there. She just knew I was out there. And she always told me, because I asked her, because I kind of turned the family garage into a repair shop sort of looking environment. And, you know, you never really said anything to me. And she said, I didn't have to. She said, you know what? That was a mother's gift to a son because I knew you were out there. I knew you were safe. I knew you were trying to learn. And I was willing to put up with all the noises and smells and sights and sounds and, you know, some of the other things that when you figure out how to make the car go fast and do a burnout, you know, maybe you shouldn't do it in the driveway. But that's thanks, Ma. You know, that's some of the things you learn as a kid growing up. But, you know, it's been a heck of a ride. It's 1,500 shows. I never thought I'd get here. I remember doing the first show, you know, up on WFAS in White Plains and thinking to myself, well, this can't last long. How long could this take? You know, we'll be out of here in 3 weeks. And here we are 28 years later. And, you know, I've got to give credit to what it is we're talking about. We're talking about cars. Cars just you know what? To me, cars are my piano. Some people look at a piano and they just see a pile of wood and some white keys and some black keys. And, you know, it blows my mind how some people can sit down in front of a piano with no music and no practice, and they can bang out notes and they can make it, you know, they can make it make music. And I guess that's a gift. And, you know, I look at some of the guys in this industry that can sit down in front of a car and not read about anything and just pick up a wrench and start working on something. And, you know, to me, that's a gift. And that's what I always strive to be. And it really has been an honor. A lot of people say that, but I really, truly mean it. It has been an honor to be here for you each and every time these past 28 years. And here's to the next 28 and the next 1,500 shows, because I love what I do. And I love that I get to talk to each and every one of you each and every week. And you know what? You just you keep the questions coming, folks. I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere. Till the next time, I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor, reminding you each and every time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.